schedule.
Yeah, the DD setbacks.
Regulations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for residential.
Minimum yard setbacks in the DD zone, according to the schedule uses, is 35 feet in the front, 25 feet side.
Okay, that's where I got it.
A side adjoining another development district lot is 20 feet and 25 from the rear.
So I think that's where I got what I put in June.
So those are the options. I just want to make clear what the options are. Correct, Andy?
Yes.
Okay.
Agreed. Okay, Ms. Waldron, that sounded like that was your key issue here tonight?
There was one or two other ones. I'm sorry, what? Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike. Let us know what they are.
There were several changes, and I didn't get this till 3 o'clock this afternoon, so. I hate to jump around too much. Number 8, it's the middle. I mean, quite frankly, there's a few of those things in there. Obviously, they're in a great approach, and that you would need to address the fact that if you had a fuel dispensing, how that was going to be managed, and no problem with that. So I don't think that number 8 really posed this any particular problem. In number 9, there's a new sentence in here in the middle of first paragraph. Applicants shall, whenever possible, locate buildings within the BD so they face each other and front onto the interior roads. That's contrary to what any business would want to do, which is you want people driving by on the main road to be able to see the business. And if they're not fronting the main road, that's problematic.
Yes.
If they're facing each other, you're not trying to draw a customer from one business to another. There might be some complementary businesses where that would happen, but that's not generally the idea. So that was something that hadn't been proposed before that I think, creates a problem there.
Major problem.
And it conflicts with
in
the
this type of location.
With the reverse frontage.
Pat's indicating that it also would conflict with the reverse frontage language that's up in the earlier in that same section 9 on access.
Tell me about, explain that if you will.
So the reverse frontage would mean you're coming off of the state highway into an internal circulation road, you would have frontage onto that reverse circulation road. Which, for example, this property, we're planning almost like a cul-de-sac, so it's one road that would come down. First of all, that would conflict with the reverse frontage, and then also the new sentence added where they would try to face onto the new internal access, that would almost work with it, but the goal of some of the more commercial uses would be to be visible from the main street. Mm-hmm. Where reverse frontage would, first of all, wouldn't really allow this. It's almost like you'd want an access road, and which would probably also mean two driveways onto the PennDOT right-of-way. So there's a lot going on there, a lot of interpretation, and conflicting, I think, goals of what this statement's trying to say.
Yeah, and by the way, I thought a couple meetings ago that we actually talked about why the parallel road to the state highway, even if it's not next to it, really doesn't serve an appropriate purpose. And I've never really figured out why that's something that was pushed. I don't think it came from planning. I think it came from Attorney Belwar, but I wasn't sure why that was a key element that was needed here.
Yeah, it did come from me. I adopted that from another ordinance that I had reviewed. And the idea was to ensure that there's another road, and your engineer may be right, maybe it's better phrased as an access road, but something that runs likely parallel to the state road, not next to the state road, and services your stores, provides access to the different stores.
Yeah, But doesn't that even increase the setback more? We don't want to be so far back from the highway that people can't see it. I could see that, quite frankly, if we were dealing with like a 100-acre business park or something along those lines, where that would make some sense. Like, I can think of one outside of Camp Hill where that's the case. But that thing is probably even 150 or more acres, you know, and it serves a purpose. But I can't see.
Well, but this whole conversation then begs the question about the signage again. You're so concerned about the buildings. Are you proposing the signage on the buildings? The signage was one of the questions, correct?
Well, signage would be on the building. And quite frankly, there was some talk about me developing more signage, but we were somewhat frustrated after the last meeting when all the new stuff came in. And, you know, my client didn't want me to spend a lot more time trying to go in that direction. Your ordinance does address signage. And I think signage is more of a conditional use issue than it is an ordinance issue, because you don't always know what type of businesses are going to go in here. And I don't think that, you know, in today's world, people don't like big signs.
No.
They don't. They like signs that are somewhat visible, or at least something that maybe gets people to look there and then find that business once they get off the state highway and come in. So, I don't think you have a problem with this developer wanting to put some kind of sign that's just ridiculous looking or big. Nobody does arches anymore, you know, that kind of thing. But
if you go to Smithfield on 209, you'll see the quality signs that we get.
It's large signage.
They're the same
it, is, it is large signage.
They're monument signs. They're not pole signs, which are horrible. Okay, they're monument signs with brick. Okay.
They're large signs, though.
St. Louis is big.
Well, it happened to be a large user. The Wawa sign is not nearly
big. No, no. The guy pulled off and looked at it the other day when I was going to Philadelphia last Friday.
But how many Wawa signs are there? How many times does Wawa repeat itself?
I don't know. I didn't see. Not at that location. I'm certainly familiar with
one up front and one in the back.
One of the very first Wawas ever was built just down the street from where I grew up. I was only 14, and I'm now 73. So that was 60 years ago. And it was the second Wawa, because Wawa was a dairy outside of Media. And they decided to start selling milk in storage rather than delivering it. And that was one of the first Wawa stores. They've gotten a lot bigger, that's for damn sure. But the one down there in Middle Smithfield, it does not have, I didn't see any. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's signs in the windows and inside, but not on the building.
Well, a lot of those type of affairs, it's very common to have the convenience store name on each pump, on each corner they have, on each, and then the signage becomes overbearing. So, you know, I don't think that we can be void of speaking of signage.
But I think that some of that's already regulated in your sign regulations in the ordinance. I mean, where you can't have excessive number of signs and there's certain things you're not allowed to do. I think that's kind of controlled. If it's got to be, you know, I have to assume, especially if it's a standalone, whether it's a brick, you know, building type of structure or otherwise, even if it was a pole, which is not being proposed here apparently. That's certainly got to come in with the land development. But again, I don't know that we need to detail the signage or say, oh, you can't have more than X number of signs in a curative amendment. This is about whether you could do the development, not what's the doors going to look like, you know?
Yeah, but Mr. Waldron, you said that you thought signs are best handled as part of the conditional use.
Mm-hmm.
That being true, we need to have some criteria within this ordinance against which the Board of Supervisors can gauge the conditional use application.
But you already do. It's in the zoning ordinance. There are sign regulations in the zoning ordinance. If you say, gee, this one's even more unique, we might allow something different, or we want less of that, I believe you could make that a condition. But it's not like there's no sign regulations in Milford Township.
Four, five, one, two, three.
And the question may be for the Planning Commission, are given the proposal for the type of development here, the PUCD, are you comfortable with the existing signage regulations? or does there need to be some additional, because of the type of developments that will be proposed under this new ordinance?
I think we would have to address that on the conditional use, but if I was drafting a zoning amendment, I wouldn't want it to be too specific for one project.
Hmm. I agree, and even though, as Mr. DePietro said, you expect to have reasonable signage, which is great, but what about the next guy that comes along?
Yeah, what does reasonable signage mean?
I mean, just so you know, he just pulled up...
You guys have five signs there.
Five signs on the Wawa down on 209.
Okay. Standalone, like, building signs, that type of thing?
Yeah, well, your standalone building sign, you have the brick one with the gas prices, the Wawa above that, and then you have two on each gable end of the pumps.
Oh, yeah.
And then two below, and then the one on the building in the center of the building.
Two below?
Below the pumps.
So these are pump signs?
Yeah, they're like pump signs. Well, they're big. They connect the two pumps, essentially, and it says Wawa across there, too, so...
Yeah, many of them have the thing, Sheets has it where you can also order food while you're pumping.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
And they make sure their name's all across that, so I get that.
I think you would admit they're professional and attractive.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying the number, I know we're, discussing.
I was talking about the typical, the traditional sign that's either on a pole or on some kind of structure or is on the facade of the building.
Yeah.
The idea that there's things on gas pumps, yeah. I mean, I think you can make a condition you can't put them on a gas pump, but I don't know that that belongs in this ordinance.
That's already in our zoning.
Yeah. Okay, well, good.
Mr. Weber?
Yeah, just a quick question, just so I have an understanding of this new proposal. So far, we're talking about a Wawa. Commercial businesses, are you still talking about a hospital, a micro-hospital, or is it back to apartments or condos, or what are we talking about?
Do you want us to answer, or do you want to answer?
Well, we can't answer that for...
Well, you know what's been submitted. All right, if it's okay, I'll answer. There's no residential plan for this project. There was, in years gone by, there was some proposal that was going to be a mixed use of residential and commercial. This is commercial only. It's proposed on this side of the highway to have four commercial businesses on the property, one of which may be a hotel, one of which could be a medical building, but no hospital is being proposed, or micro-hospital, even though that's still being worked on, I think, by the county. That's not being proposed for here. So, yes, there has been discussion, not necessarily Wawa, but a convenience store, very possibly with gas. There might be a fast food or coffee type thing like a Starbucks or something like that there. The hotel would be in the back, and a restaurant was the other use that was on the original plan that came in at the very end of 2024.
So there'd be five uses?
Four. I might have enumerated five because I was trying to remember what the only plan that you've seen since I've been involved was submitted by Patrick on December 31st of 2024.
There could be five. Does that answer your question, Mr. Weber?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Gentlemen?
Okay, was there anything else, Mr. Weber?
We're talking about the facing building. That was in 10.
Mr. Waldron, you've raised a 9, and I have a new sentence in there about whenever possible locate buildings so they face each other in front onto interior roads. I see what you're saying. I'm not married to this language. I'll ask the PC if anybody wants to see one or more of the thoughts within that sentence kept in here, revised, or delete it.
It's not practical.
For the businesses facing each other, is that what you're...
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I don't think that's necessary.
It was a sentence I picked up from the conversation last month.
Right,
and
right. Yeah, no, I know.
Very large power center or very large mixed-use development. This is a highway location. That road is everything.
So generally, Mr. Belwar and Mr. Waldron, where are we at this juncture?
Well, I think Mr. Belwar just asked you, the Planning Commission, what your feelings were about this provision that was added in here about facing buildings.
Right, I understand that question.
Yeah.
I thought he was looking for an answer. That doesn't mean you have to answer. Right. I just thought that's right. What where we were at the moment.
If nobody has any strong feelings about that language, I can take that out. And my thought is, again, under B9, is to take out that reverse frontage idea and make it that if the PPD is going to abut an existing state road, collector, or arterial road, it has to be designed with an access road. So uses can be accessed via the access road, not the state road.
Yes. Right.
I think that captures what we were just talking about.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Agreed.
Okay. So with that then, and if I strike that facing each other sentence, Mr. Waldron, are there any other issues?
Yeah, the last one, number 14, under greener recreational space.
Patrick, what will we do? We supported the idea of community area, but
yes, we did.
I don't think this is what we were.
It brings up a little bit too much interpretation. We are proposing significant green space. We're also proposing parking as well as access to county-owned parkland adjacent to us, and there will be significant green space for it. Unfortunately, it's going to be on a large slope, but there will also be green space on the property inside the development, which will be level. It will be non-stormwater, but it's not necessarily will fall under the definition of recreation. So I think that there's a little bit of, I think, discussion that maybe should happen with recreation versus green space.
This is minimum of 20%.
Right.
That seems to be concentrating in one area.
Right.
Well, it says it's got to be concentrated in one or two areas.
Right.
You know, and I also, I mean, this is a somewhat typical, sometimes even greater percentage, and your ordinance addresses this, I believe, when you're doing residential development. But with commercial, where it's a short-term stay, and now, you know, the hotel may be, obviously people would be staying overnight, they may even have their own, shall we say, play space, probably fenced in or whatever, whether it would have a swimming pool or not, I don't know. That would be a recreational activity, obviously. But usually you don't have much in the way of recreational areas for people that are stopping to pump gas, or even to go in and grab a sandwich. They're not going to be staying on the property and recreating. The Starbucks type of operation, yeah, maybe more. And yes, I suppose with the medical building, there could be some people that might need to wait around a little bit. But it's not typical that you would dedicate this much area for a commercial type of development as opposed to either a residential development or a mixed use where you had residential and commercial. Then, yes, and in fact, most municipalities require you even contribute or set aside land for a park if you have more than X number of units, more than 50 units or 100 or whatever it might be, the larger type of residential development. We don't have a problem with meeting this in terms of total green area, but to say that that's got to be kept in you know, confined areas, that means having to dedicate specific space just for that type of use. And it doesn't make sense, especially with traffic flow and parking, to put it in the middle. So that means it's going to be over in a corner. I don't know that it's really going to get utilized that much for a couple different reasons that I just indicated, both in terms of why people would be using it and two, what you know, whether it's something that they would either notice or say, oh, good, I'm going there because I want to use that green space. No, that's not why they're going there.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but last time we discussed this, we were okay with the 20%. We said 5% recreational space, and the rest could be walking paths. That would
add into that recreational space.
We did talk, you're right, we did talk about, I remember the number 5%. I don't know whether it was plus the walking pass or included the walking pass, but I do remember that, that's true. And that's not in here.
I think that's what we talked about last time.
No, we did talk about that.
Because a walking path you can put anywhere, it's not going to take up a lot of room.
No, no.
But 5% of the area, this way if people inside the buildings want to go out and eat lunch, have an area for them to go to, people go to the gas station or the convenience store and want to eat lunch there while they're on the road rather than eat in the car, that's a lot of what you're looking at.
I'd go down to the county property, but I like to walk.
Dog relief areas are a very good thing, too.
Now, you got people that, you know, during their lunch break in Milford, they're walking all the streets there.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say absolutely these people that work in the buildings, you're going to have people that go on their break and take a walk around.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because it's not usual, why does that make it bad?
Make what bad?
Well, why does that make it a bad idea? Because it's not usual.
Very true.
I'm not saying that it's bad. I just don't know why it's needed. I will say that Bob gave a couple of good reasons why some of that would be appropriate. So I can't argue with that. But again, you know, I could say that every use has to have recreational space.
As someone that travels a lot, and I'm at a lot of gas stations, unfortunately, it's part of my life, I would probably say 8 to 9 out of 10 times that I stop, somebody's out walking their dog around.
Yeah, well, dogs.
Because it's some kind of stop. And that's, people travel with their animals now. They're in Home Depot, Lowe's, Tractor Supply, the grocery store. I mean, you name it. People are now taking their animals everywhere. Yep. So for the expectation of not to utilize a space nowadays, I think that's a misstatement. Because I see it every day, and I'm sure you know you're. I mean, is that, do you see it?
100%.
Well, we have a new way of thinking about the way we're developing the property. We have a new way, and that's all that we're trying to do is to add the things that make sense that are a new way, not just what's.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So.
And are any of them environmentally sensitive? Would that be excluded?
So yes, sure. You could argue that the slope in the back is environmentally sensitive. It could be excluded, which takes out a significant chunk of your green space.
Right.
So, I think it'd be
that's a concern.
That's a concern.
I happen to like green, but that is green.
Yes.
Call it whatever you want. It's green, and it will stay green.
Correct.
So,
and you could put a walking trail through there. There'd be concern on liability on your part, but you could do it. And then that might, then maybe that area could be considered recreational. It is green, but it could then be considered recreational, but you'd have to make it, as a developer, you'd have to make a determination, do I want a walking trail that's, you know, away from public eye, that's down a pretty steep slope, that'd be a concern. I think I imagine your insurance company might not like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about walking trail with dog bags along it? You know, I think we need to be a little more concerned. So.
Mm-hmm. A good acre, too.
Right. Yeah, that actually, too. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
I just asked him about stormwater facilities. He said probably an acre or two would be needed for this type of layout.
There will be significant green space. I'm concerned about calling it recreation space. So there'll definitely be space for people to walk their dogs and stuff like that, but I don't know if there's going to be adequate space to provide sidewalks and amenities, tables and umbrellas and exercise playgrounds and stuff. I don't know if there's going to be 20% recreation space. Green, I feel very confident on.
Can we find a definition that's in between the two?
Well, the 5% I think might work, and that was discussed a couple
what
times.
What Bob brought up a few minutes ago.
Yeah,
I do remember.
Not just a percentage. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm thinking.
He's bringing up a good point.
It's green or recreational. It's not just recreational. So I mean.
Right, but I'm thinking from this conversation that I missed the adding in the 5%. So I need to add in on the second sentence. Yeah. The township shall make it as a condition. That recreational space must be at least one quarter of this 20%. And must be concentrated in one or two areas, unless it's a trail, then it can be anywhere.
Well, just to bring it back up what Roman said, I'm not trying to interrupt. In there, it says you have a 20% green or.
Or.
It doesn't say that it has to be 20% recreational. It says green or. He just said it right there.
So it doesn't, it could be up.
You could have 90% green and 1%
does that be grass?
Well, no, we talked about the 5%.
The 5% rule for the walking space.
Yeah, I'm with Bob on the 5%, but the way it is right here is
green or.
So yeah, what he's saying is 25% of the 20, and now we're getting into all kinds of crazy numbers.
I mean, from what I'm hearing, rather than recreational, like you have rest areas along the highway, a rest area where you could have some picnic tables or something.
Right, on a patio that might not be green, but would still be recreational.
Correct.
Starbucks has
and somebody umbrellas has that definition.
Absolutely.
I think the key is it doesn't say.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Let's have one person talk at a time.
Go ahead.
Mr. Belwar, go ahead.
I think the key. Somebody asked about definitions. The key is that recreation is not defined as solely active. So it could be active or passive recreation. Just a nice area, but it's available to the public to recreate, to walk a dog, etc.
Can I talk to our engineer for a moment?
Oh, certainly.
Okay, I think I've got good direction as regards to 14, how to clarify that.
Okay.
Mr. Waldron, do you want to add in?
They're discussing something.
See, I asked if I could speak to my client and the engineer for a moment or two before I responded.
Sure.
Okay.
So I'm fine with that, 5% recreational.
But somewhere you want to go with this tonight.
Yeah, no problem.
It was in there the whole time.
Yes.
It has to be a 4.
Thank you for that. We do agree that if we locked in that idea of 5%, and I think rather than go quarter of percent, that confuses 5%, 20% total, 5% recreational. That could be limited to one or two areas. Probably would be two. But in this particular project, if we're working off of 20 acres, we're talking a half acre here and a half acre there. That would add up to 5%. And a half acre is a decent size to, you know, walk around in. So doesn't mean they couldn't still have walking paths, you know, through things. But I think that that's a logical way to go. I get why, I mean, you made good points why people might want to use that.
You know, one of the reasons is, for me is safety, because right now we got people walking up and down 209 because there's none of that around.
Yep.
And it is not safe.
No, I agree.
Just gonna bring more people walking. So
I guess that was the end of the changes or comments to the changes.
All right, I have a couple changes to make. Does it make sense to the Planning Commission that I make those and circulate it to the Planning Commission as well as Mr. Walker?
Mm-hmm. Everything we discussed today?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You agree?
Okay, Mr. Waldron, is there any other aspect, for instance, of signs that you want to add in, you want to promote?
Well, I don't think it makes sense to put a number, but I do get it.